If you can't be here, we're so glad you're joining us online. Amen? So let's pray over the Word of God this morning. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the absolute, unchanging truth of your Word. Father, we build our lives on your Word, and we affirm today, Lord, we, as your Word says, heaven and earth may pass away, but your Word will not pass away. So we choose to build our lives on the unchanging Word of God. And we thank you, Father, for your truth, the truth of your Word today. Father, I pray that you would help me to present this Word, your Word, in the way that you've given it to me. I pray that it would come forth, and I pray that everyone would hear it in the way you'd have us to hear it today. And I pray, Father, for all of us as well, that we would not just be hearers of the Word, but, Father, that we would be doers of the Word. For it's the doer of the Word that is blessed. It's the doer of the Word, when the storm comes, that his house will stand. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 78 is where I want to read. I want to read two verses out of Psalm 78, and then we'll get into this. Psalm 78, verse 32, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. Say, Pastor, that sounds like a depressing verse. Why are you going to preach on that? Well, just hold steady. It's going to get better, I promise you. This whole psalm, instead of reading the entire psalm, Psalm 78 is an account of what God did for the children of Israel when he delivered them from bondage in Egypt. If you go back and read the entire psalm, you'll find that it's an account of God bringing them out of Egypt and what he did for them as they came out of Egypt and the miracles that he did and what he did for them as he brought them through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And we know what happened. We talked about this a little bit last Sunday, that the 12 men that had gone out to spy the land of Canaan, remember the account that Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan. They were getting ready to go over. They hadn't been very long through the wilderness, and they were ready to go into the promised land. And so the spies went in, and 10 of them brought back what the Bible calls an evil report, saying, "We're not able to go up and possess the land. There's giants there. We can't do it. Yeah, it flows with milk and honey. Yeah, it's abundant like God said, but we are not able to possess the land." And the Bible calls that an evil report. And the congregation, the children of Israel, believed that evil report over what God had said to them through Moses and what Joshua and Caleb came back and reported. Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, "Oh, it's an exceedingly good land. And yeah, there's giants in there. But God's already said he's going to bring us in." You know, he hadn't told them about the giants. Why? Because the giants were irrelevant.
Amen.
Think about that. Amen. You know, you may be believing God for something. You may have grabbed hold of a promise from God. And then all of a sudden a giant comes up and you say, "Well, I wasn't counting on that. God, why didn't you tell me about that?" God says, "Because it's irrelevant." Because it's irrelevant. Amen. If you'll hold on to my promise, I'll bring you into it. I'll see you to the fulfillment of it, regardless of what's out there. Amen. Praise God. And so they believe that the congregation of the children of Israel believed the evil report. And as a result, judgment came on that generation and they would die in the wilderness. And it would take 40 years before they could go in and possess the land. And that's why we read the statement in verse 33, "Therefore their days he consumed." Put verse 33 back up there, Grayson. Thank you. "Therefore their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear." And there are, sad to say, a lot of folks today, even Christians, even people of God, living in futility and fear. I actually read this passage not too long ago in reading through the Bible. I read Psalm 78, and I read that verse, and those words stood out to me, futility and fear, futility and fear. But then the Holy Spirit spoke some other words to me right after I read that, faith and fulfillment. Faith and fulfillment. So the title today is Futility and Fear or Faith and Fulfillment. Yeah. Praise God. Which are we going to choose? Which are you going to choose for the rest of your life, for the course of your life? Are you going to choose a course that will lead you to futility and fear? Or are you going to choose a course that will lead you to faith and fulfillment? Amen? So let's talk about that today. God's got a better way. God's got a better way if we'll believe and if we'll follow Him. And that way is faith and fulfillment. Amen? Now, again, let's talk about this verse for a minute. It says back in verse 32, it says, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe. Notice that. They still sinned and did not believe. The children of Israel committed various sins when they came out of the promised land. They rebelled against the authority of Moses and Aaron, got in trouble for that. They made the golden calf and worshiped it, got in trouble for that, right? They grumbled and complained against Moses and about his leadership and about the manna that they had to eat. They got tired of eating the manna. We want meat. So God gave them quail, but they complained about the food that God gave them. They committed sexual sin with the people of Moab. You know, all of those sins they committed, but there was only one sin that kept them out of the promised land. You know what that sin was? Unbelief. It was the sin of unbelief. Look at what it says here. It says, they still sinned and did not believe in His wondrous works. And really, every sin, every manifestation of sin has as its root unbelief. It has as its root unbelief. No matter what sin it is, we choose, we don't believe that God's way is the best way. We don't believe that God is faithful to keep His word. And we think, well, I got to make this happen. And that's when we get in trouble, isn't it? Are you out there this morning? Amen. And there's one sin that will keep a person out of heaven. That's the sin of unbelief. That's the only sin that will keep a person out of heaven. It is refusing to, failing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And also, unbelief will keep a person out of any and all of the blessings and the benefits that Jesus purchased for us in redemption. Jesus didn't just purchase a ticket to heaven for us. He purchased our healing. He purchased our deliverance. He purchased our freedom from sin, our freedom from habits and bondage. He purchased our provision, our prosperity. Jesus purchased all of that. And the only sin that will keep you and I from enjoying each of those benefits is the sin of unbelief. Amen. So let's deal with that today. Amen. Point number one this morning is this. Know that God has good plans for you. Know that God has good plans for you. And the word know is K-N-O-W. Know that. Amen. Not N-O, but K-N-O-W. Know that God has good plans for you. He tells us that in Jeremiah 29. Let's go there. In Jeremiah 29, verse 4, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. So who's he talking to? He's talking to people. He's talking to, and this is coming through the prophet Jeremiah. What has happened is Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians have come in and they've captured Jerusalem. They've destroyed the temple and they've taken some of the children of God, the children of Israel, captive back to Babylon. And Jeremiah wrote a letter to them and to encourage them and from the Lord. And the Lord said to speak to them and tell them something. Now, there was certainly a strong temptation for these people that had just seen their city destroyed, seen their temple destroyed, and now they're taken captive as slaves into a strange land. Think about how horrible that would be. But that's happened to them, and there was certainly a strong temptation for them to give way to futility and fear and to live the rest of their lives. They could have given up all hope, and they could have said, we're just going to exist and live the rest of their lives in futility and in fear. But they didn't do that. God told them what to do. He through Jeremiah, he said, I want you to go on living. And I want you to focus on your family. I want you to build up your family. Give attention to your family. He says in verse 5, build houses. and dwell in them. Don't sit around waiting for something to change immediately. It might not, but you need to go on living. Don't just put your life on hold. Go on living. Amen. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and sons, and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters. That's several generations there, right? That you may be increased there and not diminished. That's God's plan, is to increase us. Even at their lowest point, God said, you know what? I want you to increase. I want you to marry. I want you to have kids. I want you to get wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. And I want them to have kids. I want you to increase. Amen. Amen. That you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. See, the devil tries to use false prophecy. Really, the ultimate goal of false prophecy that's inspired by the devil, it can be inspired by a person's own mind and imagination, I suppose. But he uses false prophecy to try to get us to throw the whole thing away. Well, that didn't come to pass, so I'm just going to quit believing God. No, don't throw the whole thing away. Don't stop believing God just because some nut prophesied something out of his own head and it didn't come to pass. Come on. Amen. And the Lord, through Jeremiah, was telling them, don't be deceived by that. Don't be misled, and don't be discouraged by that. Amen. Verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Now, verse 11. And this is for all of us today. In fact, your life, you may be feeling like you're in captivity right now, or you're in prison. Maybe because of your own bad decisions, or maybe whatever's happened, you just think, well, I can't have anything good or blessed or in my life anymore. That's not true. God's a God of restoration. I said God is a God of restoration. Amen. No matter what's happened, no matter what mistakes you've made, or no matter what's been done to you, amen, God is a God of restoration. And He's got good plans for you. Look at what He says here. Verse number 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Did you know God is thinking about you? Amen. Amen. And He's not thinking about how He can get you. And He's not thinking about how you've disappointed Him. And He's not thinking about how you failed Him. He's thinking good thoughts about you. Amen. Amen. He's thinking thoughts of peace and not of evil. He's thinking thoughts to give you a future and a hope. In fact, the New International Version says it this way. He says, "For I know the plans." Can we get the NIV up there? "For I know the plans I have for you." Hallelujah! God's got plans for you. Amen. "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Amen. Praise God. If you'll have faith, if you and I'll have faith in these plans and in what God has said, guess what? We'll have a fulfillment. We'll have a fulfillment. Instead of living their lives in futility and fear, God was giving the children of Israel, the people of God, a word right here. He said, if you'll believe this word, if you'll trust me, if you'll trust my promise, then you can live in faith and you will see a fulfillment, because I'm going to come to you. I'm going to visit you. I'm going to perform my good word to you, because I got good plans for you. Amen. So know that God has good plans for you. In fact, why don't we say that? Say, God has good plans for me, for my future. Amen. Your best days are not behind you. I said your best days are not behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. Hallelujah. The path of the righteous, Proverbs says, grows brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. In Job, it says, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end will greatly increase. Amen. God's got good plans for us. Amen. Verse 12, let's keep reading in Jeremiah. Then you will call upon me. See, if you'll receive God's good word, it's going to motivate you to call on him. Amen. Then you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's our part. You know, our part is not just to lay back and just be discouraged and say, okay, God, prove it to me. No, our part is to seek him. Our part is to believe him, to believe his promise. Amen. To shake ourselves and get out of that despair and despondency and believe his word and believe his promise. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. In other words, I'm going to restore. I'm going to restore. Amen? Hallelujah. So God promised to fulfill his word for the people of God. You know what? He did it. He did it. He brought them back. It was like Jeremiah said, it was 70 years. They were in captivity 70 years. But Daniel, we know that Daniel read this prophecy because Daniel stirred himself up to pray, to seek God, and God moved on the heart of the king in that day, and he issued a decree for the Jews to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple. And in fact, the king of Persia at that time gave them provisions to do that. Praise God, and financed it. Amen. Number two, point number two today, put God's plans first in your life. Put God's plans first in your life. Amen. God has good plans for you. Don't just ask God to bless your plan. I said, don't just ask God to bless your plan. Find out what his plan is for your life and pursue that. Because that plan is blessed. I said that plan is blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. In Haggai chapter 1, in fact, this is the account. So after they're released from Babylon and the king issues a decree for them to go back, he said, you can go back and build the temple. Well, a remnant of them did. They went back and they encountered some difficulty. And God sent Haggai the prophet to prophesy to them and to encourage them. In verse 5, he says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Well, I wonder why God's withholding from us. I wonder why God's not working. Well, we shouldn't consider God's ways. We should consider our ways. God's not the one that's falling down on the job. God's not the one that's coming up short. Come on. If things aren't working, amen. No, consider your ways, he said. Look at verse 6. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Does that describe your financial situation before? This seemed like everything that came in, it was going out as fast or faster than it would go in. Huh? This is a perfect definition. What he just described here is the perfect definition of futility, isn't it? You're sowing, but you're bringing in little. You're eating, but you don't have enough. You're drinking, but you're not filled. You clothe, you try to put on, but you can never get warm. And then when you earn money, it's like putting it into a bag with holes. It just runs out, and you don't have enough. That is the perfect definition of futility. Well, again, what is the remedy? What's the answer here? Well, he says in verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple. What were they going back to do? What was their mission? Their mission in going back to Jerusalem and to Judah, the land of Judah, was to go back to rebuild the temple. That was their mission. But you know what had happened? They got sidetracked. They said, you know, before we build the temple, that's hard. That's too big of a job. And they faced opposition. They faced enemies coming against them. You know, when they tried to do it, and they said, let's forget about this. And they went off and they built their own houses and started taking care of their own stuff and their own plans. And they totally forgot. And the temple that they were supposed to go back and rebuild, it's sitting there unfinished. And so he says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. All right? Now, we're not taking up a building fund offering today, so relax. It's not why I'm talking about this. But what I am talking about is putting God's plans first. He said, you put your house first and you neglected my house. So we should put God's house first. In other words, not talking about the church building, but the purposes of God. Collectively, as a body, yes, but also individually, the plan that God has for your life. Focus on that. Find out what that is. Give yourself to that. Embrace that. Amen. Hallelujah. And you'll see yourself move out of futility and into faith and into fulfillment if you'll do that. Amen? If we'll do that, I promise you that's what will happen. Amen. And then number three, believe the word that God has spoken to you. Believe the word that God has spoken to you. When in the nativity story, when the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, the angel tells her that she's going to conceive supernaturally. She's going to bear a child that will be the Son of God. And you know what she did? She chose to believe that. She chose to believe that. In Luke 1:38, it says, then Mary said, let it be to me. We got that? Then Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. When the angel came with the message that you're going to bear a son, you're going to conceive supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, you're going to bear a son, he's going to be the Son of God, she said, let it be to me according to your word. And then she gets up, and where does she go? She goes to her relative Elizabeth's house, right? Remember the account? And she comes in to Elizabeth's house, and she greets Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is pregnant, and her baby is going to grow up to be John the Baptist. You know, I don't know what happened to John the Methodist, but John the Baptist, or John the Presbyterian, but John the Baptist, we know about him, right? And so John the Baptist is still in Elizabeth's womb, and Mary comes in and greets Elizabeth, and John the Baptist starts dancing in the Holy Ghost, leaps in the womb. Amen. And then Elizabeth says this to Mary. Look at this now. Verse 45. Look at this. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a what?
Fulfillment.
A fulfillment. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Why was there going to be a fulfillment? Because Mary believed. Because Mary believed. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment. There was going to be a fulfillment because God spoke it, but then our part is to believe it. God speaks it, we believe it, and then he fulfills it.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So Mary was going to operate on the positive side of this today, on the side of faith and fulfillment. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we can choose to live our lives in futility and in fear and just give up and focus on how bad it is and how bad our life is and how we don't have this and how we're discouraged about that and how we failed here. Or we can choose to live in faith and fulfillment. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad I found this out about faith in Mark 11. Jesus said, whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. Faith will work for whosoever. Faith will work for you. You can move out of fear and futility and over into faith and fulfillment. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go back again to the account of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and being in the wilderness. And there's a lot written about this in the book of Hebrews. And we find out it wasn't just for them and about them, but it applies to us today. In fact, Paul, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. He's not mentioned in the title of it, but I believe he did. There's some debate about that. But the Apostle Paul did write this in the book of 1 Corinthians 10, talking about this very thing. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and went through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, Paul writes about what happened to them in 1 Corinthians 10. And then he says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. In other words, they were written for our learning. The King James says our learning. So in other words, they're written down as examples for us. So we can take what happened to them and we can apply it to our walk of faith today. Do you see that? So Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. And again, he's writing to believers in his day, but again, it applies to us today. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Notice that God calls unbelief evil. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, we're going to read some more verses in here, but I want to comment. Again, unbelief is equated with an evil heart. Unbelief is evil. Amen? We should avoid unbelief in the same way we avoid any other sin. Come on. Amen? Unbelief is evil. And unbelief will cause you to draw back from and depart from God. He says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief causes us to draw back from God. Faith causes us to run toward God and to embrace God and to embrace the plan of God and to embrace the promises of God. Amen? That's what faith does. Praise God. In verse number 14, he says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And he's quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting what happened to them when they were coming out of Egypt and headed to the promised land. Because he says this in the next verse, verse 16, for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Verse 19. We've already mentioned this, but now we'll read it. Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. What kept them out of the promised land? Unbelief. They had committed various sins, but the one sin kept them out of the promised land, and that was the sin of unbelief. Because of unbelief, they could not enter in. Now, we skip down to chapter 6. He's still talking about the same thing, and we get to chapter 6 and verse 9. And he says this, he says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Thank God. He talked about how the children of Israel failed, how they didn't make it into the promised land because of unbelief. And then he says, but now, brethren, beloved, we're convinced of better. Aren't you glad God's convinced of better things concerning us? Aren't you glad he doesn't look at us and say, you sorry buzzards, you know, you're not going to make it either. I saw, Rowan and I went to the zoo, and we saw, have you ever seen a condor? You ever seen it up close? They look like, their head, they look like a buzzard. They're ugly, you know, their head. They've got this massive 9-foot wingspan. Huge. And they came walking, there's three of them in there, and they knocked one of them off they were sitting on this pole, and one of them, I saw he was getting ready to do it. He did his wings, and he was looking at the one on the pole there, and I thought, he's gonna knock that one off the pole. And he flew up there and knocked the one off the pole, and the one on the pole came flying down to a rock, and then he came walking over right in front of where we were at, right in front of the glass where we were at. Why am I talking about about condors? God doesn't look at us and say, you sorry buzzards, you're not going to make it. He believes the better things concerning us. I'll take you back to the zoo in Portland one day with me and you can see the condors. All right. We saw a polar bear too. That was cool. All right. Nora the polar bear. All right. I'll tell you more about the zoo later, but he says, we're confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. And then he says in verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through what? Are you with me? Oh, you're not. Oh, Grayson's not with me. Okay. Come on, Grayson. Verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through what?
Faith
and what?
Patience
inherit the promises. That sounds like fulfillment to me. Inheriting the promises, that sounds like fulfillment. Amen. And it's through faith that we have fulfillment. But there's another ingredient that he brings up here, that he mentions here, that we have to add to this. He says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Amen. Are we on point four? Okay. Point four is this. Exercise patience and endurance. Don't quit. Exercise patience and endurance. Don't quit. Don't give up. Amen. Praise God. James chapter 1 verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. What? What? Come on, everybody. Focus with me here today. What does he say? What's the last phrase?
Lacking
nothing. That sounds like fulfillment to me. Is that fulfillment?
Yes.
Amen. So what is the testing of our faith? What is that? What does he mean when our faith is tested? Well, that's when circumstances come to us that are contrary to what we're believing. Right? That is the testing of our faith. Wouldn't it be great if there was never any testing to our faith? Wouldn't it be nice if you just say, okay, Lord, I believe your promise, and God says, okay, here it is, you know. And there was, and the manifestation came instantly, and there was never any testing. But folks, there's opposition. There's a devil. There's an enemy. There's a devil out there that's trying to keep you from enjoying and walking in the blessings of God. Amen. And so there's testing to our faith that comes. Circumstances that come that are contrary. We live in a sense-ruled world. We live in a world that's governed by our five senses, but we're called to walk in a realm higher than that, in the realm of faith. And we're called to believe things that we can't see, to believe that they're ours, to believe that we have them, to believe that Jesus purchased them for us. We're called to believe that. Amen. And so there's testing that comes to our faith. And when it looks like it's not working, and when it looks like our prayer is not answered, and it looks like it's not going to happen, we sang about that. Even when I don't see it, what? You're working. Even when I don't feel it, you never stop. You never stop working. Amen. That's faith. That's faith to believe that. Amen. And he says it's through faith and patience. And patience. He says, don't be sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So that means to go into the Bible, go into the Scriptures and find examples of people that not only had faith, but people that stood through opposition, that people that stood and continued to believe. Amen. Follow them, he said. Follow those examples, he said. Amen. Don't quit. Don't give up. Amen. Exercise patience and endurance. Praise God. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5 verse, because we don't walk by what it looks like, right? Do we? If we walk by what it looks like, we'll live our lives in futility and fear. I said if we walk and live by what it looks like, we'll get caught up in futility and fear. To get over on the faith and fulfillment side, we have to not walk by what it looks like. In fact, he says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. It seems like those two are mutually exclusive, and they are. If we're walking by sight, we're not walking by faith. And if we're walking by faith, we can't be governed and moved by what we see. Amen. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. He tells us this in Galatians 6. He says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for when? In due season, we shall what? In due season, we shall what? Reap." That sounds like fulfillment to me. That sounds like fulfillment. Reaping sounds like fulfillment. Amen. You know, in the Psalms, it says, "He who goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheep." I used to think that when I was a kid. I thought it was bringing in the sheep. The old song, "Bringing in the sheep." I thought it was the sheep. I thought, we're going to bring in the sheep. It's the sheaves. The sheaves, that's the harvest. That's a harvest of wheat or grain. Amen. That's a harvest. "You'll doubtless come again with rejoicing, with that harvest in your hand." With a harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. "In due season we shall reap a harvest if we do not lose heart." Amen. Praise God. Whoever's coming up, Mike, Reed, whoever's coming up, come on up. Praise God. The children of Israel did eventually get into the promised land, didn't they? Under the leadership of Joshua. You know, it took a while. Moses died. That generation that complained and grumbled and refused to believe, that generation had to die out. But they eventually came into the promised land because Joshua led them in. And Joshua, in his farewell address, Joshua said this in Joshua 23 and verse 14. He says, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." That's another way of saying I'm dying, folks. All right. "This day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls," look at this, "that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." Hallelujah. What happened? That previous generation lived their lives in futility and fear and died in the wilderness. But thank God, the next generation, they entered in and they believed God and they entered into the promised land. And Joshua said, "Not one word has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you." And you know, he's the same today. If we will believe him, not one word will fail. Not one word will fail. "Well, I don't believe in that part of the gospel anymore." Why not? "Well, it didn't work for me." No, pick it back up and believe it, because not one word will fail if you'll believe. I said, not one word will fail if you believe it. Not one word has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. One more verse here. Psalm 66. Turn Mike up a little bit there, Anthony, if you would. Turn his guitar up. Psalm 66, verse 10. "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs." Now remember, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a revelation of the devil. You know, they didn't know that the devil was doing some of these things. And so they laid it off on God. "You laid affliction on our backs. You've caused men to ride over our heads." They got themselves out from under the Lord's protection. And so the enemy, in fact, God told them, "If you disobey me," he said, "your enemy and the alien that's among you will rise higher and higher, and you'll sink lower and lower." All right. And that happened. All right. "You've caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but." Thank God for "but" here. "But you" what? "Brought us out to rich fulfillment." You brought us out to rich fulfillment. You may have been through some stuff. You may have been through fire. You may have feel like you've been through fire and through water. It may have seemed like in your life that people have ridden over your heads and over your head and taken advantage of you and oppressed you and that you've been passed over and other people have been blessed, but you've not been blessed. And it may seem like things have been hard, but if you'll stay with God, if you'll not give up, if you'll stay with God, if you'll believe His word, if you'll believe His promise, you will experience this. But you brought me out, Lord. You brought me out to what? To rich fulfillment. Rich fulfillment. Hallelujah. God has rich fulfillment. Amen. We have a choice to make. We can go down the path of futility and fear, or we can choose the path of faith and fulfillment. Hallelujah. Let's choose that path. Amen. Let's choose that path. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone in here and everyone that's watching us online. And I thank you, Father, that you have good plans for each of our lives. And I thank you, Father, there's set before us a choice today. And that choice is to either to continue down the road of futility and fear or to change. There's a fork in the road in our lives right now. And we can change course and we can choose another path. We can choose the path of faith and fulfillment. And I pray today, Father God, that each one of us will choose that path for the rest of our lives, for our future. And Lord, we do believe that our best days are ahead for us in the name of Jesus. While we're in an attitude of prayer right now, the greatest decision that you can make is a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And it's a personal decision. It's not one that anyone can make for you. It's one that you have to make. And I want to ask those of you in the auditorium here today and those of you joining us online, you may be here and you may be saying, well, Pastor David, that's me. I've never invited Jesus Christ into my life, into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. There's only one sin that will keep you out of heaven, and that's the sin of unbelief. That's the sin of failing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to open your heart to Him and to believe in your heart that He is Lord and that He died for your sins and He was raised from the dead. The Bible tells us when we do that, we are saved. We're born again. We become new creations. So I want to pray for you here today. If that's you, if I'm talking to you right now and you'd say, Pastor David, that's me. I've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to believe on Him. I want to trust Him as my Lord and Savior. I want to give my life to Him. I need Him to change my life. I've been in charge of my life and it's not turned out so well. I want to put Jesus in charge. I want to make Him the Lord of my life. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand in the auditorium here today? Praise God. Thank you. Are there others? Pastor, pray for me. I want to accept Jesus. I want to make Him the Lord of my life. I want to believe on Him today. I want Him to come into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. Praise God. Praise God. Are there others? Pastor, pray for me. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord. Thank you. Praise God.